Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you would like to ask a question, please state your first and last name, followed by your media outlet and/or affiliation. If not provided, your question will not be taken. Once again, please press star 1 and state your first and last name, followed by the media outlet and/or affiliation. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning. This is Bill Ruberry from OTS External Affairs. Before I turn things over to Director Rich, I just wanted to reiterate what was said about the recording and let you know that we will get that up posted on our website as quickly as possible, no later than mid-lunchtime. So that'll be posted as an attachment to the press release. I'm going to turn it over to Director Rich. He's going to give a brief opening statement and then answer your questions. We also have several other OTS officials here whom Director Rich will introduce. Director?
Thank you, Bill, and good morning. Thank you all for joining us on this conference call today. Joining me on the call, in addition to Bill Ruberry, are Scott Polakoff, Senior Deputy Director and Chief Operating Officer, Tim Ward, Deputy Director for Examinations, Supervision and Consumer Protection, and John Bowman, Deputy Director and Chief Counsel. As you know, the Office of Thrift Supervision announced last night that J.P. Morgan Chase had acquired the banking operations of Washington Mutual, the largest federal savings bank under OTS supervision. Before we respond to your questions, I'd like to highlight just a few points. The first is that this transaction has occurred at no cost to the FDIC insurance fund. WAMU is a $307 billion institution, so the fact that its struggles have been resolved without a hit to the deposit insurance fund is a major victory for the OTS, the FDIC, and all of the country's insured depository institutions. Second, I'd like to stress that from the point of view of its customers, Washington Mutual will continue to operate as usual. The institution is under new management, but all deposits are safe, and banking services will go on unimpeded by these events. The transaction will be seamless. My third point is to address the subject of what happened to force the sale of this leading retail lending business. And I can only say that these events show that the enormous toll that the economic crisis has taken on our nation's housing sector. The core business of WAMU was making home mortgages, and that business has been hit hard enough, as it turns out, to topple a giant. The last point I'd like to address is what this transaction or event will mean to the Office of Thrift Supervision. As I've noted, WAMU was the largest institution under our supervision. Assessments from that institution represented only 12% of our 2008 budget. Because we routinely plan for contingencies, we've already drafted a balanced budget for 2009 without WAMU revenue. OTS will continue business as usual and with no reduction in staff necessary. So with that, we'll be glad to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please state your first and last name, your affiliation and or media outlet. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Daniel Paletto from the Wall Street Journal.
Hi, good morning, Director Rich. When we came to the second court at the FDIC, obviously the Washington Mutual was not on the problem bank list. Can you tell us why they weren't on the problem bank list at the second quarter and when they went on the problem bank list?
John, we can answer Damien's question if you would like.
Go ahead, Scott.
The institution it has a continuous examination, Damien, and I guess it was in September of this year, it crossed the threshold onto the problem bank list, which, as you know very well, is a lagging indicator of the condition of institutions because it's a result of on-site examination work that has already taken place. So it's a good question. I think what probably is going to be your follow-up question is what exactly prompted this institution to have to go through this transaction, and what we would underscore in response to that is it was a liquidity crisis, not a capital crisis. And most institutions that find themselves on a problem bank list by a primary regulator are typically due to a credit crisis associated with the asset structure.
But can you tell us if the FDIC was pushing the OTS to downgrade this bank earlier?
What I can tell you is that we examined the bank, we rated it appropriately. The FDIC worked side by side with us, and there were no disagreements on issues that intelligent examiners sitting around the table couldn't resolve.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Drew DeSilver from Seattle Times.
Yes, hi, good morning, folks. A follow-up to the previous question. It sounded like, from the comments made yesterday, that regulators were getting reports on the deposit outflow from Washington Mutual on a, it sounds like a daily basis. How did that work? I'm trying to explain to the readers out here exactly the sequence of events as to what happened and how the regulators knew that about the liquidity crunch that Washington Mutual was under. Was it you mentioned an on continuous examination? Did you have someone at Washington Mutual who was reporting back to y'all daily as to their condition?
Yes, that's exactly true, Drew. We have a staff of examiners on site at WaMu throughout the year. And in the last several weeks, we were monitoring their liquidity throughout each day. We would get reports from on-site staff.
When did those on-site staff go? Were they there as a part of a normal course of events, or did they come in specifically as a result of the agreement earlier?
We have staff on site year-round, constantly.
Really? Okay.
In our largest institutions.
And one more thing, could you say, can you pinpoint as much as possible when the outflow of deposits began to raise really high red flags for y'all?
Well, the largest volume of outflow occurred the last 9 days between September the 15th and yesterday, September the 24th, about $16.7 billion left the bank.
Was that mostly consumer deposits or broker deposits?
I think it was a mixture of deposits. I don't know if my staff on the line has any more detail.
This is Tim Ward. It was predominantly retail deposits, but there was a mix. Broker deposits are typically placed at an institution in insured amounts as certificates, and they typically do not run off until maturity because they're fully insured.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from John Proder from Reuters.
Good morning. Can you talk about, you must still must be getting some questions about whether or not you guys feel responsible for the failure of WaMu. Do you guys feel responsible for it? And then my second question is, are you aware of any efforts underway by the Treasury or the Fed to consolidate OTS and OCC in the form of perhaps drafting a legislation that could be used early next year? Thank you.
Well, thank you, John. That's a favorite question that everybody likes to ask. First of all, do we feel responsible? We are the regulator of the institution, so we have responsibility of the institution. I feel personally feel terrible about the failure. It is the death of a financial institution, so to speak. Even the transfer of an institution is an occasion that impacts the lives of so many people, customers and employees of the institution, officers and directors of the institution who devoted their lives and careers to the growth and development of the institution, the shareholders who have lost their investment. Bank examiners, our examiners are affected, I think, more than most people realize. Regardless of the size or location of an institution, they're deeply saddened when their efforts were unable to save the institution. You know, I would never have imagined that that what we have seen happen over the last few weeks would have occurred in our economy, that Fannie and Freddie would be in receivership, that Bear Stearns and Lehman would disappear, that AIG would be where it is today. So, you know, I think that the housing market obviously has been under tremendous distress. WaMu was a home loan lender and obviously had a concentration of assets in real estate related loans. OTS has been seeking congressional authority and approval for several years now to allow our institutions to have a little greater diversity in their lending activities. Did we neglect WaMu? Absolutely not. As I mentioned, we're on site, have been on site every day. We've had an examination team on site for years. They've been doing their jobs in a professional manner. And WaMu was a victim of the most severe downturn in the real estate market I think our country's ever seen. Regarding consolidation, obviously we're all aware that the Treasury has made such a proposal in its blueprint. I've been on record as opposing the proposal to consolidate agencies for a number of reasons, not the least of which I think it that we make each other better agencies, it's always better when there are more people at the policy-making table than a consolidated situation where one person, one agency director is in charge without input from other agency heads. I think that what we have with the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council is a good forum for policy discussions, and the principals frequently get together for those discussions. So,
but are you aware of any efforts right now by Treasury and the Fed to draft legislation to consolidate the two agencies?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sheridan Hopkins from American Banker newspaper.
Hi, Director. I'm sorry. I just have to ask, when you keep saying that this problem is because of the problems in the housing market and thrifts are largely housing institutions, what does this say about the thrift model? And can you speak to, because Treasury's also talked about not only the agency but the whole charter. So when you have a housing downturn and you have a thrift model, what does that say about the liability?
Well, it says that when we have gone through a period of time in the economy as we have over the last 2 years, the housing model by itself becomes under significant stress, and that's one of the reasons that we have been soliciting or seeking more diversity in the investment opportunities and the lending opportunities for our institutions. I forgot the other part of your question, Cheyenne.
Well, that was it. But, I mean, if you seek more diversity, aren't you more or less closer to a bank?
Well, you know, people make that argument. But, we're not seeking to get away from the housing business entirely. I think it's going to be up to Congress to decide if they want a lender, an agency, whose mission is housing. Housing has always been a very important part of our economy, and housing is... it's been very important for members of Congress who have exerted pressure on institutions to be responsive to community needs, to make housing affordable. So as long as housing is a primary sector of our economy, which it is, It seems to me the notion of having an agency specializing in housing, even though it has the diversification to make other types of loans, would be a good thing.
Can I quickly ask the timeline of how the bidding process went?
The bidding process occurred over a period of 2 or 3 days. The FDIC was in charge of that. You probably should point that question to them.
Hey, Cheyenne, it's Scott. I want to follow up on the director's comments to also remind everyone that there are some real geographic concentrations in the housing market that are driving the key problems. And we have an incredible number of thrifts operating throughout the country who are operating profitably, who are doing a great job, and who are serving their communities. So I think it's important for everybody on the line to remember that the housing economies focused in the California area and the Florida area, as well as obviously Arizona, Nevada, have really impacted institutions that have focused in those areas. But we should not lose sight of the fact that there's an incredible number of thrifts operating profitably, operating well, notwithstanding these stressed financial times. I think it's also important to remind everyone that a majority of the mutual institutions in the country today are OTS-regulated thrifts. And that mutual institutions play an important role in the financial economy, and it's important that we continue to factor them into the relationship.
Our next question comes from Drew DeSilver from the Seattle Times.
Hi, thanks. Follow-up question for you. Can you walk us through what role OTS played over the last 10 days in the search for a buyer for Washington Mutual, and to what extent were you working with WaMu, and to what extent were you working not with WaMu, working directly with potential buyers before the final end game bidding process that you just mentioned?
We had many many conversations with the management of WaMu, obviously over the last 2 weeks. We had conversations with interested parties and potentially interested parties on a daily basis over the last week or so. But I, as to the detail of those conversations, I won't go into that.
Those conversations with interested parties, would it be fair to say they were a direct result of the deposit runoff that you were witnessing?
Yes.
Okay. And one more thing, the retail deposits that were running off, was there any particular geographic pattern to those? Did you see customers leaving in particular states, or was it widespread throughout the system?
Scott or Tim?
Yeah, this is Scott. My understanding is that a majority of the deposit outflows, A, came from the state of California, and B, were deposits in excess of the insurance deposit limit.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the next question. Our next question comes from Danny Impoletto from Wall Street Journal.
Thank you again. I just have a two-part question. Can you tell us to what extent interested or prospective buyers wanted the government to take some sort of downside risk in an acquisition? And also, can you sort of walk us through more specifically the downgrade? You know, when precisely in September was the bank downgraded, and was it downgraded to a 4 or 5, and what had it been downgraded from? Was it a 2 or a 3 before?
Well, there was a point in time because the $700 billion bailout package discussion has been taking place over the last 10 days or so. Everybody's had an eye on that at the same time that they were looking at and considering making a bid on WaMu. And I think it was at the least a significant distraction, and probably played a role in the interest of some parties to decide not to make a bid. With respect to the downgrade, I'm going to defer to Scott to discuss our reaction to that.
This is Tim Ward. In February, on site, we downgraded Washington Mutual to a 3 rating. And in September 18th, we downgraded them along with the FDIC to a 4 rated. And that was based on the liquidity situation had deteriorated since the our annual exam. While we're on site year-round, we roll it up at the end of June and issue a report in July, meet with the board of directors and discuss them with them the final rating for the year. At that meeting, it was still a 3 rated, but the liquidity deterioration and the deposit outflows in September caused us to downgrade them to a 4 September 18th.
And also, this is Scott, also, if you look at the fact sheet that many of you have received, and it's also on our website, you will see the sequence of enforcement actions that we took in the situation.
Thank you.
Let me just add to Damien's to the response to Damien's question. There seems to be an interest in playing up differences that exist between one agency and another. The FDIC and the OTS work by and large very well together. We have a dynamic relationship, and I think it's a positive relationship. I think it's constructive. We don't always agree, but we agree most of the time, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's healthy to have multiple agencies and regulators involved in the regulation of financial institutions. We don't always agree, but most times we do. But the dynamic relationships and discussions which take place, I think, are healthy and are positive. Result in the best supervision of institutions. And is not a negative to, in my opinion, is not a negative to be to be made as though it's not a good thing for the industry.
Our next question comes from John Poirier from Reuters.
I was wondering if you had gotten any pleas from BAMU's investor, TPG, to keep the company alive. I was wondering if you had gotten any reassurances from perhaps J.P. Morgan. And also, if you had gotten any reassurances from J.P. Morgan in terms of job losses for Washington Mutual employees post-transaction. Thanks.
John, to my knowledge, again, the FDIC might be a better responder to the second question of jobs, but I'm sure that J.P. Morgan wants the employees of WAMU to be at work and doing their jobs, and they have 2,200 branches around the country, and I am not aware that they have made any decisions regarding reductions in force. I would be extremely surprised if any such decision has been made at this early point in time. Your first question again, John, was what?
About whether or not you had gotten pleas from TPG to keep WAMU alive.
Obviously, the shareholders, investors, management and employees, they all wanted to keep the institution alive. We wanted to keep the institution alive. Last thing that we wanted to do was to put the institution into a situation where it had to transfer the ownership. So it was a full-time effort the last several weeks to do everything possible to keep the institution alive.
Our next question comes from Sheridan Hopkins from American Banker Newspaper.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up on Damien's question that I just wasn't sure if it was answered on. Were there banks that were bidding or banks that were looking at WAMU that wanted the government to put in some kind of financial backing?
You'd have to ask those institutions, Cheyenne. they were interested in the organization, but ultimately some of them decided to back out, and I heard what the motivations were, whether or not it was...
Hello?
Hello? Cheyenne, are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
We may have lost the director. I assume others are on the line, so I'll continue until we hear the director pop back on. That, you know, obviously, like John said, I mean, to find out what motivated the various parties to either make a deal or pursue others, have to go to them. What was the other part of your question, Cheyenne? Whether they wanted government assistance in the deal?
Yeah, financial government assistance.
I got to tell you, it was a moving target throughout the last week, and there were a lot of interested parties that were trying to understand exactly what Congress would propose in any sort of plan that the Treasury had put forward for buying out mortgages from institutions or securities. So there were a lot of issues on the table, Cheyenne, that had everybody's attention. A lot of moving parts, and I'm sure that many of them were looking for a deal that would be best for them, and if that involved assistance or not, you'd really have to chat with them.
Thank you.
Christian, are you on the line still?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
We have one final question. Next question comes from Mr. Drew DeSilver from Seattle Times. Sir, your line is open.
Hi, thanks again. When, as precisely as possible, can you say when yesterday Washington Mutual Management was notified of the closure?
They were officially notified at 6 p.m. Pacific time yesterday.
And was that speaking with Mr. Fishman, or was it speaking with the chairman of the board?
The official announcement was done with the chairman of the board at 6 p.m. And Tim Ward and John Bowman and I had conversations both with Steve Frank, the chairman of the board, and with Alan Fishman.
At that same time. I asked because I saw the report in the Times today about Fishman being on a plane when the word came down. I wanted to try to either confirm that or clarify that if possible.
I don't know what Alan's flight plans were yesterday. I know that he was. I heard subsequently that he was flying or intending to fly. I don't know what his plans were, but I spoke to Alan Fishman.
Okay, and that was at 6 p.m. yesterday?
Well, you know, yesterday was a rather fluid day. I can't say precisely it was at 6 p.m. Or if it was before or not, but it was in that ballpark. There were a lot of phone calls being made right around that time. So I can't say with absolute accuracy it was at 6 p.m.
And who is this speaking? I'm sorry.
This is Scott Polakoff.
Scott, okay. It's hard to keep everyone's voice.
And Drew, are you actually in Seattle? Is it 6 a.m. for you right now?
It sure is.
Wow.
This is Tim Ward. The official order was presented at their home office in Nevada at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are there any final questions?
I show no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone. I think you all know my number. If you want to try and have anything following up, just give me a call. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
We'll be posting this on our website, the recording.
Thank you for
shooting to post this on our website around lunchtime, the recording. Thank you.
Thank you for participating. Today's conference has ended. You may disconnect.